Welcome to History in Minutes for the 29th of July 2025, and our focus this week is on history in the news. And here we are again for another History in Minutes episode. Hold your breath for the next 6 minutes or so, as you are subjected to continually escalating levels of excitement, each minute more earth-shattering than the last. As I said in the introduction, we're doing a media roundup of history in the news today, and I'm Shane Appel, your presenter. Our first item is from the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, who was Klaus von Stauffenberg, the man behind the July 1944 plot to kill Hitler. This one can be found on ABC Listen. And initially I was surprised this one made the news. Not because he's not a noteworthy individual, but I just wasn't really sure what is actually new in the research field regarding his life and significance. And on closer look, it's actually an audio interview with a Victorian barrister, poet and historian called Brian Walters, and he's written a book called Treason, Klaus von Stauffenberg and the Plot to Kill Hitler. So maybe he's found something new, I'm not sure. Sticking with the ABC, it also carried another interesting article called The Recorders from Our Childhood Have a History in Centuries Old Instrument. I'm not quite sure if that title's grammatically correct, but anyway, this is about an obscure group of musicians who are known as period instrumentalists. They're dedicated to making music with historical research and presumably with instruments that may or may not be still used today. This one was a bit of a revelation to me since my musical pretensions, and I'm being as diplomatic as possible here, are quite banal. The next item in the list is a piece from the Conversation website, and that website has existed since 2010. And its article that attracted my attention is Nothing Quite Like It in the History of Espionage, The Russian Spies Who Pretended to be American. And this is a story that goes back to the early Obama presidency, where there was a long-term infiltration of the United States that was exposed when a number of Russian spies were arrested. They were all pretty damned amateurish, and if you like real world espionage stories, this one is a good article for you. Personally, I mean, if you are into real world espionage, you should always try and get a hold of Philip Knightley's book, The Second Oldest Profession. He's a journalist, though, not a professional historian, but it's a good introduction to the history of espionage. He does really well to capture the ridiculous side of it. One of the spies arrested was the now infamous Anna Chapman, and she got to be quite a celebrity from, you know, being arrested and eventually deported back to Russia. She had sort of this fashion career. There were even action figures made of her. She posed on the cover of a Russian men's magazine in Agent Provocateur lingerie. That's the brand name, Agent Provocateur. She also did a stint as a runway model, I think, for Moscow Fashion Week. And Edward Snowden, she asked Edward Snowden to marry her. All this just sort of reminds me of what Philip Knightley was driving at, is that real-world espionage can often be just ridiculous and pointless. I mean, I got the impression from reading The Second Oldest Profession that it was just pointless work. It didn't gain anything of any real significance. It reminded me of the story of Acoustic Kitty, which was this CIA program to train a cat. Let me repeat myself. Train a cat to get into proximity to a target. It was like wearing a microphone to spy on people. I mean, you're trying to train a cat. You could just imagine the end note to this thing, which was that as soon as they deployed Pussy into action, it ran across the road and by some quirk of fate got run over by a car, and Pussy didn't survive. The third article on our list is also from The Conversation, and this is the news that Indonesia plans to rewrite its national history. Enough said about that. There's really nothing surprising about governments trying to control the narrative of the past as a tool of state policy. Our next item comes from The Australian as well, and this touches upon family history. One of the columnists for The Australian, Bernard Salt, takes you through his own journey of collecting and maintaining his family's photos. A really interesting article because it's a good reminder that not all history is elite history. You know, academics writing in obscure journals or pompous windbag podcasters pontificating on the past. And our final item is from Radio France International, titled Rewriting History, in regard to a claim that was lodged in the International Criminal Court over Russian looting of Ukrainian heritage. That's sort of the big items, and there are a couple of honourable mentions that made the news, which we don't have time to discuss. Spectator Australia, an article titled Decline in History, Education is Creating a National Identity Crisis. Maybe Spectator Australia could talk to the Indonesians about that. Anyway, the next one, slightly a bit more exciting, The Underground from the Sydney Star Observer. And this is an article discussing the transformation sites of queer history. The next honourable mention is from the ABC, where scientists look to Indigenous history to manage flood risk in the Hawkesbury Nepean Valley. And I would say that this one's about the use of oral history. Our last honourable mention is Human Population History on the North Coast of Peru, from Y chromosomes to mitogenomes. And that's been carried in Nature magazine. That's all for History Minutes this week, and we will catch up soon. Farewell for now.